All right, before we get started, I've got to tell you about Haystack, as you know by now, right? Haystack is the place where you're going to find the right web designer for your next project. Now, you know that you can scroll through it and see beautiful shots of past work from each firm, but actually, not just me, Mixer G fan Jeff Hirono emailed me in and he said, Andrew, you've got to tell people that they could narrow down their search by budget. So I'm going to tell you, you click right here if you want the right designer at your budget. You click right here on any budget, and then you select the budget that you're looking for. For example, we're looking for $3,000 to $10,000. That's what we have to spend on our project. These are firms that do work at $3,000 to $10,000. They just come right up on the screen, and we can scroll down and find the right ones for us. If we want to pay less than that, we can click on the $3,000 and under, and the page is going to load. And when it comes up, we're going to see only firms that work for $3,000 and under. This is the way to find not just the right web designer for your next project, but the right web designer at the right budget for your next project. Use it and give me your feedback the way Jeff did. Here's the interview. Hey everyone, it's Andrew Warner, founder of Mixergy.com, home of the ambitious upstart and home of the curious upstart. And this interview is mostly for me, but you guys are going to get to learn along with me. I have been just haunted by the question of why Pounce didn't pounce on Twitter, why it didn't beat Twitter. And I'm so grateful that I've got the founder of Pounce here with me on Mixergy to answer some of the tough questions that I've had here, some of the questions that in any other industry would be awkward, but because we are in the tech entrepreneurial space, we like to figure things out and we can take a little bit of a distance from our companies to really analyze them. So, Leah, thank you for coming on Mixergy and talking to us about this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, before we get started, going back in time, can you tell people what you're doing now?
So now I work at Six Apart as a product manager on TypePad. So if you guys have heard of TypePad, I also worked at Six Apart on a new product they have called Motion, which is an open source community blogging project. And it's really cool. I'd check it out. I don't know offhand the URL, but you can Google for Motion and I'm sure you'll find it.
Oh, so. What does it mean that it's a community blogging platform?
It's actually very much kind of like Pounce was, where you can, you know, get online and you can chat with other people or send messages and everyone can contribute. There's actually some really good sample sites if you want to check it out. One is ZacharyQuinto.com. Another is rstar.net or rstar.net community.ZacharyQuinto.com. It's his community site. He also has a blog. Let me think of some other really good ones. A really fun one that I'd check out is they call it Mama Meow. It's 3 M's meow, so 3 M's in the word meow, and it's like a cat lover's site. See, lots of cat photos.
All right, and besides that, you're a hacker too. You've got a couple of side projects that you're working on.
Yeah, I do side projects for fun. I've competed in the Rails Rumble and the Django Dash, and I have projects for them. One is called Hurl. It's hurl.it. And the other one is LeafyChat, leafychat.com.
Has leafychat.com launched yet?
No. Well, what happened was we put it up as soon as the Django Dash was over, and it got too much traffic, and so now we're fixing it. So it's not really a launch. It's more like we need to fix it before we let people use it again.
Right. So. And that's your personal project apart from TypePad. Yeah. And it's an instant messaging or communication platform, right?
Yeah, I have a lot of fun doing these competitions. So a lot of stuff comes out of those. So it's
okay. All right, so let's go back in time and just to catch people up, for people who haven't been following your career the way that I have and have been researching obsessively the way that I have, you first came on the scene. People first started to get a sense of who you were when you came up with an idea for getting a computer. Can you talk about that, and then we'll go into Pounce?
Yeah, that's funny. About 3 years ago, I worked at a startup called Instructables.com as a developer, and I was really jealous of everyone at my work because they all had really nice laptops, and, you know, I didn't. I'd never owned a laptop in my life, believe it or not. Being a poor college student, I had a 6-year-old iMac. And so I had this idea. So all these folks that work at Instructables, we had a laser etcher, and they would laser etch the front of their laptops with, you know, crazy designs. And I thought, you know, I was joking around with a friend actually, and I said, you know, what if I, you know, charge people for ads, and I'll buy my own laptop by charging the ad space on the top of the laptop with covering it with ads and, you know, asking X number of dollars per square inch. And it ended up going really well. Got a lot of people involved, mostly friends and family. People always ask, how did you get sponsors? And it was mostly, I happened to know people in the Bay Area that had, you know, this company or that company that thought it was funny and a quirky little thing they could put in their ad budget. So, yeah, right. And so it turned out really well.
The reason I love that and I wanted people to hear that story is because it just shows such ingenuity, such cleverness, such balls, frankly, to come up with that idea and then go out and get money for a computer that way by charging for ads on it.
It was actually, I kind of want to address this a little bit. It was actually a lot of work. It actually relied a lot on things I already had. So I have people asking me all the time, like, can I do this as well? Do you mind? How did you get sponsors? And I say, you know, you can try it. You can do it. But it kind of doesn't always work the second time. You may or may not have luck with it. I would rather see people try to do something that is really original and their own sort of unique twist on something, their own unique little challenge. I actually have a friend, I'm going to plug his project a little bit, named Robin Sloan, and he started a Kickstart project for something he wanted to raise money for. Kickstart's a pretty good site for raising money for this type of thing, and he wanted to write a book. And he sent out sort of a sample of his work, and he set deadlines, and he did blog posts, and he's been really good about keeping it updated. His project's actually closed, so you can't sponsor it anymore, I don't think. Though you might still be able to buy his book, so I'd check that out. But I thought that was really nice because it was totally unique. It's his own thing. He's a writer. He's like a sci-fi writer. That's his thing. And he was able to use the resources that he had to empower himself to get, you know, to publish a novel, which is cool. So.
And you know what? What you said earlier about how these things work well the first time, but the copycat versions don't, is so true. I did an interview with Jason Sadler, who's the guy who does the iwearyourshirt.com site, where every day he wears a different t-shirt, and he charges companies to wear their shirts. $1 for the first day, $365 for the last day of the year. And there are people who tried to copy him by doing, I'll wear your baseball cap, I'll wear your this, I'll wear your that. None of them work. It works the first time, it's hot, it's interesting, it's worthy of talking about, but afterwards it just doesn't come across as well.
I don't even know that it's the first time. It's that it's not particularly about the act itself, but about the process and who's behind it and how, like, it's an insane amount of work to do any sort of internet project, as you probably know from your site. It's a lot more work than I think most people anticipate, and so it's, you know, doing something. It's
what
not
was
just
so much work about
again,
it? Because
doing a lot of, a
most
lot
people
of
will see that. Most people see the idea. She's selling ads on this new computer. If enough people pay her, she's selling ads on this new computer in, as a way of raising money to buy the computer. Most people hear that. It seems simple. You had the connections already, so it seems even easier. What was the hard work there?
Well, it was going out and talking to everyone. And if I get a lead, I had to go follow up. I had to get the artwork for the ad. I had to size and fit the artwork. I had to keep in communication with everyone that was doing ads. I had to make them feel like they were getting their money's worth. I took photos when I went out with the laptop to show that I was going out. I had to sell the last little bits of space. You know, I had to maintain the website, keep people updated. I filmed the actual process of getting it engraved. I had to find someone to film it. Actually, I had a volunteer to film it. Thanks, Eddie, for doing that. But yeah, it wasn't simple. It wasn't super hard, but it wasn't, you know, a walk in the park.
I see. Okay. All right. Fair enough. It is a lot of work to sell ads. It is, as you say, a lot of work to do everything. People see that.
Well,
it's
hard to do any sort of web project, you know, to get a blog going, even those sort of seemingly simple things. It's hard to keep the momentum and keep it up. So.
Okay. All right. Let's get into my obsession. Pounce. What was Pounce for people who hadn't been on the site?
So Pounce was sort of a social blogging site. It was like a community site where you would, you know, get on, you'd make friends, you'd send things to your friends, funny videos, links to funny stuff, photos, you know, it was a great community.
Can I say that it was like Twitter, except that you could have attachments? So where Twitter, it's only text, here you can have some text, but also attach a picture or also attach a music file.
Yeah, there were file attachments that you could add to.
Okay.
To your messages.
Where did the idea come from for the site?
So it was actually inspired by wanting to share kind of the funny content we found online and doing it in a way that was very social. So not just, you know, posting it on a blog and hoping people see it, but really knowing, like, who's seen what I've posted. So that was kind of the inspiration behind it.
Did a part of this, or what, to what extent were you inspired by microblogging platforms that were already out there?
So I actually feel a little bad. I was vaguely aware of many microblogging platforms, but you know, I hadn't really found something that sort of, I mean, our team, we talked about it and we wanted something very particular. We wanted this very like sharing of media sort of, you know, audio files and photos. And we didn't really, you know, we hadn't really found our community out there yet. So.
Okay. So you had this idea. How did you bring in, here's one of the most impressive parts of this. You brought in Kevin Rose. You're an internet celebrity, but he's like an internet mega celebrity. He goes on and likes a website. Suddenly the site is flooded with traffic. You got him to be a part of this, right? To be a shareholder?
Yeah, Kevin's a great guy. I think part of the idea was his too. So he's definitely a contributor to it. He's actually like a friend of mine. So, or now I guess we're closer friends than we were then, but we knew each other through friends. And you know, we talked about it and he said, this is what I want to do, this is cool. And I was like, well, this is what I want to do. And we were like, oh, well, but together it'll become a better site. So we kind of partnered up on it.
What was his vision for it?
He's really into the media sharing side of things. Like, he thinks that's really cool. Like, you know, I really want to be able to, I find something really cool and I want to be able to share it just effortlessly. So.
Okay. And what was your vision? What was the part that you brought into it?
I really like social stuff and I wanted a place that I could feel like my friends were there and I could communicate with them and keep up with what's going on.
Okay. All right. And you had a couple of other co-founders, right?
Daniel Burka, who is a former designer at Dig and Silver, or still a designer at Silver Ranch, former designer at Dig, and now is working on another startup. He's a great guy, good designer.
Okay. So it was the three of you then who actually founded the site. Okay. All right. And he did the design. You did the coding. Kevin brought the spotlight and a little bit of
he did businessy ideas. Things.
He did businessy so, things. Yeah. But he wasn't sitting there with the eye shades doing the accounting work, right?
He did some accounting.
He did.
Yeah.
Really? What else
did
he do?
Everything. Kevin's kind of great at doing just about anything that needs to be done for a company. So he's really good with that. I've heard he's been doing a lot of angel investing lately. So he's pretty good at just kind of getting everything done.
Okay. By the way, how does he do it all? How does he run Dig and run Revision 3 and do all this other stuff and go and do Dig Nation and then help you with your site and then a million other sites?
I'm pretty sure he doesn't sleep.
Does he obsess on one project while other people run the past work? Did he spend a lot of time on Pounce?
You know, his help was a lot on evenings and weekends. Like I said, I honestly think he just spends every free minute, you know, working on what he's passionate about.
Okay. All right. So you guys have this idea. You did the coding. You what was the? I'm sorry, I forgot. Adam did the
Daniel?
Design. Daniel.
Thank Daniel.
You.
Look Daniel at me Burka.
With my poor preparation here. All right, so Daniel did the design.
Okay.
Beautiful, beautiful design. Right. You guys launch. Everyone's paying attention to this, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
At least in our space, all of our friends are all paying attention to Pounce because of the team behind it.
Okay.
All right, what kind of audience did you get in the beginning with all that attention?
We actually had a pretty diverse audience. It was everyone from people who were fans of Dig to, you know, early adopter crowd to, you know, we even managed to pull in some, you know, just random people who are interested in this type of site and this type of community.
Okay. And the goal with these sites is when a new person comes in to get their friends to come in also, right?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of virality did you build into it in the beginning?
So there were a couple, the initial site had an invite-only launch, so people were sending invites and asking for invites and sending them to their friends, and that's how we got a lot of the initial crowd. We later added features for finding your friends by email and by other social networks. You could search like your Facebook friends and find out who on Facebook was also on Pounce, and then invite people by email. And we also did a thing with friends of friends, so we suggested people to be friends with based on who you were already friends with. So we had a lot of different ways that you could sort of connect with people on the site.
What was the most effective?
You know, that would be a good metric to measure. I don't think I've checked, or at least I don't remember.
Okay. And what was the focus? What were you obsessed with as you were building the site?
We were really obsessed with community. and building a place that people really felt like they could share things openly and discuss with each other. And we ended up having like a really cool community. So that was good.
How did you cultivate the community? And by the way, guys, if you're watching us live, I see we got tons of people watching. Leah, you've got a lot of fans out there.
Thanks,
if you're
guys.
Watching us live and you've got any questions or any feedback or anything that you think I should bring up in this interview, just post it right there underneath the video. I'd love to ask your questions and get some insight from you guys too. So yes, how did you cultivate the community on the site?
So we had a lot of really good moderation features so people could control sort of who they were paying attention to, and we also we had a couple super users that were really great for our community, who created this concept of like the question of the day, or you ask like one thing and people respond to it. There were daily sort of events that the entire community participated on, and we kept track of things via a community wiki, which had all the latest sort of cool things to do. But it really was, the community kind of grew itself. So I'd have to say thanks to them for that.
So did you guys do anything to push them to do this? You guys didn't come up with the question of the day. You guys didn't come up with you did add the events, but how much did you bring into it?
We participated. So when like a new thing came up, we really wanted to help spread that. So we kind of advertised it and talked about it, but
I see. You know. All right, and you said you had some moderation features that helped. What were they, and how did they help?
Yeah, I mean, I hate talking about the negative things on a site, but we had the ability to block people. So if you didn't like someone, you know, or didn't want them, you know, paying attention to you, you could block them. Let's see, I'm trying to think of other cool things. We had on the public pages, you could report spam.
And Twitter didn't have that until about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, well... It's one of those things that kind of sneaks up on you.
Yeah. And you said you had some power users. I remember Dave Weiner, the developer, just kept loving your site, kept talking about how great it was to develop for it, kept talking about how he wanted you guys to succeed.
Yeah. Dave's a great guy. He wrote some really cool stuff, too, for Pounce as a developer. So. Mm-hmm.
All right. Who else? What other kind of power users did you have?
Oh, I'm going to feel so bad if I start listing power users.
We're going to miss some people, but I want to get a sense of what were they like? Were they, well, go ahead.
Well, there was everyone from people who were really community leaders to folks who were developers and building applications. In the community space, we had a bunch of folks from Minnesota, my home state, so that was really cool, that were really active. And we had a bunch of developers, and actually our desktop app was... As the second version of our desktop app was built by someone who was just a fan and wanted to build a new app for Pounce, and we ended up using it as like our official desktop app. So that was really cool.
Was this the Adobe Air desktop app, or that's the second?
Yeah.
That was the first version.
The first version and the second version were both Air, and they were both developed by two totally different people. So it was fun. It was nice to see a community kind of develop their own applications.
Okay. All right. So you had this community going. You had these cheerleaders who are rooting for you guys and helping out, but you didn't make that jump from being a great respected site to being one that's used obsessively by a lot of people, right?
Well, it depends on who you ask. We had a lot of obsessive users. So.
Okay.
I don't know if that's like a question or.
All right, and then I take that back. Then maybe it was a loaded. maybe it was a loaded question. Well, what about this? At some point, it looked like people were starting to lose your audience. I remember when Kevin Rose went from Pounce to Twitter, it became a big news story. What was it like internally when he did that?
I don't think it was about Kevin going from Pounce to Twitter. I think he just wanted to like increase. You know, overall, like he's joined, like, I think he has Facebook fan pages and he has like 10 different blogs. I think it's more of just like building community in any sort of way that he can and reaching out to his audience in every possible way. And actually, we still continue to grow. I'm trying to remember at what point he got involved in a bunch of other sites, but it wasn't really, I don't think it really affected Pounce's growth too much.
But it did make it seem like he wasn't into the site anymore, no? Because whether you guys had the rivalry for real or not, people saw it as a two-horse race.
You know, I feel like it's really unfortunate that people saw it as that kind of rivalry, because that was never the intent. We launched the site, and we first got, like, the comparison to Twitter was, like, shocking, because Pounce is definitely a very different type of site, a different type of feel, a different type of community, and I think that, you know, maybe the press jumped on it as an opportunity to write about something that just, you know, the rivalry was just never there.
No.
Sorry.
I still have I'm still bringing it up here with you.
I know. You're making me up because I'm like, a little bit, it's like awkward. It's like, well, that never was really the intent. So there are a lot of really good blogging sites like this now. You know, Six Apart has their Motion sites, which is very much in sort of the same feel. There's Tumblr, there's like Postress, there's, you know, there's Jaiku, there's tons of these sites, you know, and so it's hard to... Status.net. I can name off a bunch of them, but so, you know, it's like its own genre now, and it's sad that it's kind of been defined by this competition or like everybody versus Twitter, which is just not.
But it does seem like Twitter then sucked the air out of the room. For some reason, the rest of them aren't able to get as much attention. Why do you think?
Oh, geez, I have no idea.
Okay. All right, so what are the things that you guys did that worked so well that you're taking with you to every project that you work on afterwards? What'd you learn?
I mean, tons of stuff. It's any sort of building a new site is definitely a learning experience, and you learn, you know, what you want to do for development, how you want to run a business. There's all sorts of different aspects that, you know, it was my first time doing a startup, and so it was a really good learning experience.
What'd you learn from it? What'd you learn about publicity? You clearly got so much publicity so much publicity for this site that I'm still talking about it today.
Yeah, well, just, you know, it was kind of interesting because at first we weren't doing a lot of press, but once we started doing press, it was just, you know, just be nice, answer everyone back right away, be courteous, do interviews, you know,
with
research.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Even interviews with bloggers like me.
Especially with bloggers like you. I mean, if you're a Pounce fan, you know, that's the best person we can get talking about the site.
What percentage of your time were you promoting the site and talking to the community versus actually developing it?
So I did a lot of development. So maybe like 1 or 2 hours of publicity versus, you know, a lot of time spent in development. But both Kevin and Daniel did a ton of publicity too, and you know, people definitely wrote about the site without ever even asking for interviews and things. So
what was the coolest bit of publicity that you got?
Oh, coolest bit of publicity. For me, it was my hometown newspaper because it was personally very cool. I was like, wow, my hometown paper has this in an article. Yeah, the New York Times is pretty fun. I hate calling out people again because it's like, who do you exclude? In the awesome, awesome amount of press. It was really fun.
And was it a PR agency that got you all this publicity?
You know, we worked for a little bit with KF Communications. They were really nice in helping us out. But in the end, a lot of it was just personal contacts and email and things like that.
Okay. All right. We talked about what you did well. What do you wish you did differently?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I really hated the comparison to Twitter. I think if I were to do a new startup or a different company, I would pick it in an area where there wasn't such good competition, determined competition. I think there's definitely different levels of startups, and Twitter was definitely a good startup. And it's really hard to compete or be compared to.
Yeah. Why were they such good competitors? It seemed like they were down most of the time that you guys were up. It seemed like they weren't doing that much on their site. It was just text. You guys did so much more. You were more reliable. Why? What made them such good competitors?
I think because they were really, I mean, the team's very focused. They have an excellent team. And, you know, they really sort of had this really good publicity push, and they did really well. I mean, it's kind of funny to go back and read like early articles and then see how that progressed. But they have a great service and they're doing really well.
The day you guys launched, they had about 250,000 users. That's not that many. That's about a year after they were already in business. Let's see. They launched March of 06, you launched March of 07. In a year, they had only 250,000 users. That's not very big. I'm going to be talking to Otis Chandler from Goodreads. Want his own, no outside funding, no publicity. Mm-hmm. Got, for Goodreads, 650,000 registered users. The guy's a master of viral marketing. I got to talk to him about that here on Mixergy. So Twitter didn't do that much, but was it once they got going, they were unstoppable? They became the de facto...
I mean, this is going to sound harsh, but I'm not an expert on Twitter. So you might want to try and get one of the Twitter guys on the line to talk about Twitter.
Can All right, so let's step away then from Twitter. I don't want to keep beating this. I don't want to keep beating in. I don't want to keep beating the same drum, especially if it makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah, am I not answering the question?
No. First of all, you're answering the questions great. We're trying to just go in there and just figure out what the company was like on the inside and see how much we could learn from it. And not only am I loving it, but I'm seeing here we got John's B. Harry is promoting us. I don't know if he's telling his friends to come watch us live. Esther Lilly is saying that she's getting her dork on, or maybe she's quoting Indy Quick, who's getting his dork on, and she's telling her friends, Esther Lilly is, to come watch us. People are loving this on Mixergy, the ones who are watching us right now.
Good.
So let's talk about what else then. What else did you learn? What else do you wish you'd done differently?
Done differently. I don't know. I think we made some pretty good decisions. I think mainly just knowing the space that we're in and knowing the competition. That's really important. We were really lucky to have a good team. So having a good team is really important. We chose really good technology, which again helped us really be prepared when we did have, lots of traffic. So we were really good about that. It's kind of hard to come up with really horrible stuff that we did really badly, because we didn't do that badly. In the grand scheme of things, there are a lot of different kinds of startups, and I think for what we did and what we were in the time, we did a really good job. So
okay.
We had a great community. We had that's
okay. You ended up selling to Six Apart, where you are now. What was that decision like?
Well, we hit some tough economic times. November of 2008, if people remember, and we took a look at our finances and we said, well, maybe we should start looking at possible solutions to our economic issues. And one of those was was getting acquired, and we talked with Six Apart, and I really loved Six Apart as a company, and I still do. I love Six Apart, but at the time, I thought, oh, this is a horrible thing. I hate to be, selling our company. And Six Apart really came through it, and they had some interesting ideas for things that we could work on in the company and things they wanted to do. And we signed on and we said, okay, that sounds great.
Did you guys make the rounds? Did you look for another round of funding?
I'd actually prefer to not talk about business things, because it was a long time ago.
Okay. All right. So then, what was it about Six Apart that drew you in? They weren't committed to keeping Pounce going, right? But they wanted the technology, and more importantly, they wanted you. They wanted the people there.
Well, at the time, we didn't know what was going to happen to Pounce. That was sort of made after the fact, after the acquisition. But I really respect Six Apart as a company and as a blogging company, and I think they've made some really great products, and we really wanted an opportunity to work with them.
Okay. Well, can you talk about what that first conversation was like? How you guys approached them? Who approached them?
I think there was a back and forth of emails, and eventually we said we really like this company. They did their technical evaluation, and they said, we like your technology. We want to be moving towards doing Django development, and they have. Motion's a great Django site. It's actually very Django-like. So if you're a Django developer out there, it's worth checking out, because it's really got some cool stuff in it. And so that was kind of how that went.
Okay. All right. Entrepreneurship. What I found in doing these interviews is that there's some people who are just entrepreneurs at birth. I remember talking to Maria Sipka, who, as she was talking about when she first tried entrepreneurship, you could see her face light up and you could see this is who she was. Do you feel that way about entrepreneurship?
It depends. I'm not a pure entrepreneur in that I'm kind of more of a developer product person. So I would not do, I mean, I would never consider doing another company unless it was something I was wholly passionate about and really cared about. And in some ways, I think I'm really happy doing things. I'm not such an entrepreneur in a business sense, but more of in a product sense. Like, I really want to be doing cool stuff. It's not about the money. It's not about buying and selling and going public and these sort of things. Like, that's not what really interests me. I'm really interested in building really cool internet technologies and really being on the cutting edge. So
really, like, what have you done that captures that spirit?
So here at Six Apart, Motion, which is kind of a really weird Django app that's not built on a database. It's built on the cloud, which is kind of an interesting, so it's got a lot of different technical issues that we worked through on that. OAuth and OEmbed, two web standards I've been involved with. OAuth is pretty cool. I was involved with it back in 2007, and now it's used, if you've ever developed for the Twitter API, it's used on Twitter, it's used on Google, Netflix.
Right.
That's pretty cool. And OEmbed is another web standard I've been kind of passionate about. So I really like working on just like web technologies and web ideas and really sort of advancing the web.
What was the first computer you worked on?
I think my family got their first computer when I was in sixth grade, and I think it was an Apple II.
Okay. And when did you start developing?
I started programming in college, mm-hmm. And at the time I had an iMac, so I don't know if anybody can beat me for awesome development environment. But
how'd you get into it?
College, so through school. I was planning on being a graphic designer, because my mother is a graphic designer, and I wasn't so good at design. I shouldn't say I'm terrible, but I'm, not a designer, and took a programming class and did a lot better at that. So
did it get you the way that Maria was gotten by entrepreneurship? That as soon as you sat down, you said, this makes sense. Everything about this is logical, unlike maybe the rest of the world or unlike entrepreneurship.
It was more of like I kind of had like a rush of power. Like, not only can I come up with cool ideas, but I can build it myself. You know, I don't have to rely on, getting other people to do work for me. I can have an idea for a website and I can build it. And I think that's when you're talking about some of my side projects, that's really what they were. It's like, I can have an idea, and not only can I have this idea, but I can try it out, which I think is fantastic. I wholly recommend to anyone who really loves websites to go out and really learn how to build them themselves. It's very cool.
What was the first project that you built from start to finish that was live online?
So that's kind of tricky, because I've worked on a lot of live websites before. Pounce was sort of the first one I built from the ground up myself, that wasn't like for school or my own personal website. So I guess I had my own blog before Pounce. It's kind of tricky. It all kind of came in stages. It wasn't like all of a sudden, bam, I had this awesome website totally done. It doesn't really work like that.
All right. Let's see what else. Okay. I got to talk about how you say you're uncomfortable in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, first of all, I got more people watching you, more unique viewers on this than I've had for anyone except for Gary Vaynerchuk. You're clearly a draw. You're clearly a personality.
Well, you're putting me in this hot seat here, too. You're asking tough questions. You're a good interviewer. I'm just like, I'm stumped. I'm like, wow, I don't even know what to say to half these things. This is tough. Don't have prepared answers for things. I don't know. Maybe it was, maybe it's just the Pounce community. The topic is kind of interesting. So,
yeah, you know what? I like to dig in when a company succeeds or a company fails. I like to go in there and find out why, what happened, in the most curious, childlike way. And I've asked you a lot about Pounce.
That makes for some good questions.
But I feel like you're a little uncomfortable talking about it. I mean, you said it yourself, that you're uncomfortable talking about certain parts of it. Why? Why is that?
Mostly because it was a group effort. So I feel really bad when I say, it was this way because, Daniel and Kevin were equally involved. And I hate to say something that sort of, people pick up as, oh, this is the reason for this or the reason for that. And, and I also don't want to portray Six Apart in any bad light. I mean, I think they're a great company and I love working here. So it's kind of like, I may not have had the best media training and I try and be candid about things, but it's difficult. It's you know, it's tricky to be put on the spot by
Yeah.
such a good interviewer.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for saying that.
Yeah.
All right, we got a couple of more minutes here. If anyone has any questions, please bring it on. Let's stay away from pounce. Maybe there's something else that we could talk
Oh,
about.
you can talk
We could
about
talk about pounce.
pounds.
I think I ran out of
Yeah.
questions about pounce. Donnie Negretti, thank you for telling people to watch us here. I love when people promote us, and they love you, I'm telling you. All right, CNET. In fact, throughout, I looked on your LinkedIn profile, and except for Six Apart, you're pretty much spending a couple of months at a places, and then bam, you're on to something new.
Oh, that's just because I was young. I think I was really looking for a company that really fit, and I didn't know how to do that via interviews. So that's another, I don't know, maybe thing we could talk about is how do you find a company that really fits you, and how do you
How
know,
do you
I
do
didn't
that?
want to, what? I never wanted to stay someplace that, you know, I didn't quite feel was a perfect fit. And I mean, I've worked for some great places, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know that I still figured that out. You know, I'm pretty happy now, but it took, you know, how many years to figure that out?
All
I don't
right.
know.
What are you doing when you're not working?
work some more.
Really,
A
so you're
lot.
coding at home the whole time?
Yeah, I mean, I have side projects. I work on open source stuff. Yeah, I code a lot. And I watch movies and TV. That's kind of my relaxation.
Who are your high-profile friends? You seem to know some of the top people in the space. You and Kevin Rose are now friends.
Yeah, I guess I also go out to a lot of events in the Bay Area. I mean, I'm pretty lucky to be here, and there's always things to go be involved in and events to check out.
Are they useful or are they just fun?
Well, it depends. Some are just fun, some are more useful, some are, you know, helping out other people and just, yeah, it's a variety.
How do you make an event useful if you go to it?
Well, there's when I say useful, I mean there's all these like hack days and things where you're really
I see.
creating code, and there's other ones where you're making contacts with people and getting to know folks. And I guess the way to get the most out of it is just to go with like an open mind and to be positive and to be encouraging and to really sort of get involved in not only, you know, the online community but the in-person community.
All right, I got a couple of questions coming in. First of all, Ben Fremmer, I don't think she's going to answer that question about what somebody else in the company thinks of the company, so I better not even ask it. I will ask, though, S. Kohler is asking, why'd you use Django to build Pounce?
Well, I was formerly a Java developer, and I'd done Java for about 3 or 4 years, and about a little while in like a professional setting, so for companies. And I wanted to try something different. There's nothing wrong with Java. I just was like, time to try something new. And I had heard a lot about Rails, and I had heard a bit about Django, and those were kind of like the two that were in my mind as things to try out. And I actually wrote a demo site in Rails, and I wrote one in Django. And Django just kind of clicked with me. Like, I think it kind of has this, you know, vibe that it has great documentation. And I always need documentation. So that was a big plus. And at the time, Rails didn't have as much documentation online, and there weren't that many other web frameworks besides Java. So that's kind of how it
All right.
came about.
All right. Any bit of advice for anyone who's an entrepreneur out there building a company?
Oh, I don't even know if I'm qualified to give advice,
Sure you
but
are. You know what? You've been through this. You've done something that the people who are watching us and listening to us right now are dreaming of doing. You've built a
Well, you should
company,
do
you've raised it. They should do it,
it.
right? That's the first bit of
That's
advice that I get from everybody.
yes.
Just go and
Yep.
build the site. Build
Yeah,
something and make it public.
just go and do it. If it means you need to learn to program, learn to program. That was my little bit of lecture. But you know, just you really gotta just get out there and try it, you know. One of the things I always did when confronted with problems at Pounce was I was like, what's the worst that can happen? And if you make a list and you actually, or you say it out loud, you know, like what's the worst thing that could possibly happen? It doesn't seem that bad. You know, when it was Pounce, I had quit my job, a pretty good job, because I wanted to do my own company. And it was like, well, what's the possible worst that can happen? I run out of money and I have to go live with my parents in Minnesota. Like, that's not that bad. So worst case scenario is I'd have to move back home. I'd get a little bit in debt. And you know, it's never, the worst case scenario is never what happens, hopefully. So
No, and really going back home, if you've got parents to go back home to, it's great. Matt of WordPress said the same thing. He said, if WordPress didn't work out, I go live with my parents. It's not the worst thing. I lived with my parents while I was building my first company.
That's good to know that. Yeah. No, I mean, you know, there's nothing, you know, nothing wrong. There's only so far, you know, and you got to kind of have that point in mind, like how far, how bad can you get before, you know, but it never gets there.
It never gets really bad. That's another point that Matt Mullenweg made. It never gets really bad for a developer, because if you're a developer, you're always going to be in demand. There's always going to be somebody who says who will hire you. So you lose all your money, you fail completely as an entepreneur, somebody's going to hire you, and they're going to love you more because you took that shot, because you know what it's like to do it.
Yeah, it's a learning experience, right? Yeah, definitely.
All right. Finally, I'm looking. I want to make sure that we get to at least 45 minutes here in the conversation. Anyone who wants to do an interview here with me, can I get a clip from you telling them what they should they do it, should they not? Some kind of can I get a testimonial from you about Mixergy? Mixergy is, take it from there. Start with that and take it from there.
You, Andrew, are a tough interviewer. So I maybe would have come a little more prepared. Mixergy seems like it's a great site, has some good interviews, some good topics. I would recommend any entrepreneurs out there to go check it out. Check out what people have been saying and talking about, and really take some of that advice and stuff to heart. So you've done some great interviews.
Well, thank you. Thank you for doing this interview with me. I really hope I wasn't being a tough interviewer. I never want to put anyone in a tough spot.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Curiosity of a child, as I say. Thank you for doing this. And let me say this. Let's both of us thank your fans for coming in here. Not only have they come in here, but they've spread the word about us doing this interview. I'm going to say it first. To everyone who's a fan of Leah, thank you very much for being so supportive of this interview.
Yeah, thanks, you guys. Sorry I'm kind of camera shy, but yeah.
No, they're loving you. What's a good way for people to connect with you if they want to get together with you after this? Go to events, right? Number one, come say hi. Are you approachable?
Yeah, yes.
All right.
I hope so. I hope I'm not too scary. I'm often around the Bay Area. If you have anything you want to ask me, you can email me, Leah@6apart. That's probably the best way to get in touch with me. I'm often running around crazy, so.
All right. So there you go. Thank you very much for doing this interview. Let me say this. Let's say goodbye. Stay on with me as I say goodbye to everyone. Everyone, there it is. That's the end of the interview. Thank you all for watching. Get connected with Leah one way or the other. Find her on one of these social networks. Email her. Go on her blog. I do not want people to just take this information in and watch it like a TV show. This has got to be action-oriented. And the first piece of action you could take is go and connect with the people who I interview. Leah just gave you her email address. I'm amazed that you were willing to do that. But she's got tons of other ways to connect with her on blogs.
Well, it's on my blog, so it's not private. Also, if you're starting a new project and you just want to, like, show it off or get me to sign up, I'll sign up for it if you send me an email. So I'll be at least one user for your site. There, that's my offer. That's my...
Awesome. And I will be user number two. And if you've got any comments on this or any other interviews, leave them in the comments. And I'm looking forward to talking to everybody and getting your input. Thank you, Leah. Thank you, everyone, for watching.